Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with C Broadcast on this morning's CUNA media call. CUNA's Chief Advocacy Officer Ryan Donovan joined us to talk about the latest COVID-19 relief package that that the government will be providing us. Thank goodness. But anyway, Ryan kind of details what's in the package and then what it means for credit unions. So check it out.
The House and the Senate are in session today. And they'll remain in session until they complete the COVID bill that was agreed to over the weekend, as well as the omnibus appropriations bill. These are really, they're two bills that I expect will come together and become one bill. It's the $900 billion COVID agreement and the $1.4 trillion omnibus agreement. So this week, Congress is positioned to enact about $2.3 trillion in overall spending. We've been focused, of course, on the COVID package, which, as has been widely reported, includes $600 direct economic assistance payments to many consumers, as well as an added federal unemployment benefit for the next 11 weeks of $300 a week for those eligible. The agreement also is expected to include a $284 billion reauthorization of the Paycheck Protection Program, so another round of PPP funds, and a loan forgiveness simplification process that largely tracks the language that CUNA has supported and that Senator Cramer of North Dakota has sponsored. We have worked closely with Senator Cramer's office over the last several months to ensure that his language is included in the legislation, and we expect that when the bill is released later this morning, it'll be largely reflected there. We also expect the legislation to include $12 billion in funding for CDFI and minority depository institutions. $9 billion of that will be set aside for long-term capital investments and $3 billion in grants and technical assistance. Importantly, the legislation also includes or is expected to include a one-year extension of the expanded central liquidity facility provisions that were in the CARES Act, as well as the troubled debt restructuring provisions. We also expect that the expanded and improved employee retention tax credit provisions in the legislation should include both state and federally chartered credit unions. And the bill is expected to include $25 billion in rental assistance. Just to give you, I mean, those are the provisions that I think we're most focused on. There's obviously a great deal of additional relief and recovery in the legislation. Just to give you a sense of the timing, we expect that the text of the package will be released sometime between 10 a.m. this morning and noon, after which the House Rules Committee will meet to agree on the rules of debate for taking it to the House floor. Then the House will have to consider that rule, followed by consideration of the bills. It could be a long day in the House of Representatives, and after that, the bill will go to the Senate, which could make it a long evening in the Senate. Now, in the Senate, there's a lot of ways to expedite consideration of legislation through unanimous consent, and if they're able to do that, they might be able to move more quickly. So, you know, in some respects, there may be a path to getting this done today, but if it slips into tomorrow or Wednesday, that might not be that surprising as well. The House passed a continuing resolution over the weekend that I think provided for 5 days of additional funding. So they've got a little bit of time before funding runs out. In any case, this is all very good news for consumers, for everybody impacted by COVID, and it reflects a great deal of advocacy work that's been undertaken throughout the course of the year by CUNA and state credit union leagues. And we think that these provisions, at least as they relate to credit unions, will help credit unions remain in a position to serve their members during this crisis and also as we come out of the crisis. We'll continue to be engaged on this matter this week. And of course, as the new Congress convenes next year, we anticipate that there'll be additional COVID recovery measures. And we'll continue to take the approach that we've taken since the beginning of this this crisis, which has been to make sure that policy enables credit unions to continue to serve their members and to advance their communities. The other matter that we are engaged on in these late days of Congress is the National Defense Authorization Act. As you recall, Congress passed, and the Senate passed the National Defense Authorization Act and sent the bill to the president. The president has threatened to veto. He has not yet vetoed the bill. Under the Constitution, he has until December 23rd, which was 10 days after the bill was presented to him, not including Sundays, to sign or veto the bill. If he doesn't sign it, the bill will become law. If he vetoes it, it'll be sent back to Congress. Our understanding is that there are discussions in the House to bring the chamber back next week to attempt to override the bill if the president vetoes it. Early speculation that if the House effort is successful, that the Senate may try to override the veto on January 3rd in the morning before the new Congress is sworn in. Of course, if he doesn't veto it, then that's moot. But just to give you a sense of what we anticipate.
Thank you very much for that information, Ryan, and stay tuned for more news here on CU Broadcast.